The second flagship project is the Juice Shop, also known as Björn's Saftladen. Björn is an annual guest on the stage, and his talk is a little bit longer than Thorsten's, so the introduction can be a little bit shorter. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's most mature broken shop system. The stage is yours.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back to this little 90-minute introduction to the Oberst Juice Shop. But the counter starts at 19, so it must be wrong. I will try to keep it short. So thanks for inviting me back after so many years of giving Juice Shop updates at this event. I brought some news, not as many as Yannick had last year because that was our 10th anniversary, but still we actually made some nice improvements, changes, and other hopefully interesting things. So let's start. For those who don't know what the Juice Shop is, this is the front side of our popular postcard. I don't have any anymore. This is, by the way, not AI generated. This has been created by an actual designer we contracted many, many years ago. You can see that by the Twitter bird here at the bottom, so it's a bit older, but it's still valid. So Juice Shop is a web application. It emulates basically a shopping system. You can buy juice and other stuff there, and it has over 100 something security vulnerabilities you are supposed to exploit, and you get points on the scoreboard if you successfully do so. You can also use it in quite nicely in Capture the Flag setups, so in corporate trainings at universities, whatever you can imagine. And Juice Shop also is very happy to play your guinea pig for any security tools you might want to test, or for putting it behind a WAF you would like to test. All these use cases are supported. So this is my personal favorite slide. I typically show it at the end. I put it at the beginning today. It's the Juice Shop success pyramid. So we, over the entire time of 11 years of the project, we accumulated 130 contributors by now. We are a flagship project still, which is nice. And the most interesting numbers are here at the bottom. So we are sitting currently at 12,000 GitHub stars. Quite unbelievable, 15,000 GitHub forks. This is actually, this is the most forked OWASP project of them all. And an even more unbelievable 84 million pulls of our Docker image over the entire time. So, new stuff. Let's start with that, what interests people the most, what challenges did we add? So there's actually two new ones. One is about a leaked API key that the Juice Shop is using behind the scenes. So this is a 5-star challenge, so pretty difficult. And it has actually, the only interaction with the Juice Shop itself is that you have to report the found API key via some form in the Juice Shop. The API key is used and also has been leaked somewhere completely behind the scenes. So it's a process that Juice Shop uses recurringly for one of its actual business features, and you have to find an API key that was improperly handled and then report it to the Juice Shop team. The second one is also a 5-star challenge. It's a memory bomb challenge. So it's a little bit like XXE, only with a YAML file. So you can also do the same fun stuff you can do with XML with YAML if you really try. This challenge, you can see this in the screenshot, is disabled. It's in the danger zone. That's one of its tags, because it can actually be considered risky to have this running somewhere on the public internet. And for that reason, it's also one of the disabled challenges on the public demo instance of Juice Shop by default. And when you run Juice Shop in a Docker container, also by default, all potentially dangerous challenges are disabled. You can turn them on, but it's your own risk. Basically, everything is your own risk because Juice Shop is MIT licensed, so don't come to me if you blow anything up. We also added, two years ago, we added Web3 related hacking challenges, quite a few actually, during that year's Google Summer of Code. Unfortunately, the corresponding coding challenges were never completed, and I now took it upon myself to try and add a few of those, at least for the challenges where I halfway understand what's going on. there's still a few gaps. So if we have some Web3 smart contract experts here who want to give it a try, please feel free to reach out so we can complete this. We introduced also a brand new category for challenges called observability failures. They're basically everything that would fit the new A9 of the 2025 OWASP Top 10 goes into, and it helped us a little bit to clean up one of the categories that was huge. So we had in the past 19 challenges in the sensitive data exposure category because it is so generic, right? And I tried to add this one to take 4 of those out. And I'm looking for opportunities to also maybe define some other categories to clean up and structure it a little bit more nicely and not have these overly huge categories for like catch-all cases. So we also did a little bit of work already with the OWASP Top 10 2025 release candidate. So we have a category mapping of our own arbitrary categories towards OWASP Top 10, other Top 10s and from OWASP, other OWASP documents, also CWE and VASC identifiers. And the blinking ones are the mappings towards the latest upcoming version. And as you can see, we cover everything from 1 to 10. And by that, we are officially in compliant to 100% with the latest version of the Top 10, as we should be, right? You shouldn't be, but we should be. Apart from challenges, we also have some other new features added, some more on the convenience side. One which is quite nice is the new way how we handle hints on the JuiceShop scoreboard. If you remember previous versions of JuiceShop, there was always a little hint button for every challenge, and if you hovered over this with your mouse, it would show a tooltip with a little text hint. And if you clicked on that button, it would open a new tab and send you to the companion guide ebook and bring you to the section of the challenge with a list of hints. So that always felt a little bit awkward because once you send people to this ebook and they know that there are hints, it doesn't take them long to also see that there's a complete appendix with complete step-by-step solutions, which is something you might not exactly want in every scenario when you do trainings or especially lectures in university. So I guess people would still find it now on them for themselves, but the JuiceShop doesn't link there anymore because JuiceShop now shows hints gradually by clicking on this hint button. So you start basically by having no hints unlocked. When you click on the button, the tooltip basically changes and shows a hint and tells you to click again for more hints. And you can do that as long as there are still hints available to unlock. And in this case here, this bully chatbot challenge has 3 hints available, essentially just telling you to try and nag the chatbot over and over and over again, asking for a coupon code, so he would hopefully give you some. So, as I said, the hints were also in the ebook. I personally don't like duplicating work. So the hints from the ebook are now automatically synchronized with the hints from the JuiceShop itself. So basically, whenever we do a change in the challenge definition file of JuiceShop, where the hints are now stored, there's an automated CI/CD job running, which copies over all the hints into the ebook, into separate files, and then it's all imported there when the ebook is built, which is quite nice. Also, the existing webhook that you can send out when JuiceShop or when a challenge is solved on JuiceShop now also sends the number of available hints for the challenge and the number of ones you solved. Because you might, for example, in a training scenario want to, I don't know, show on some dashboard how many hints a student has used, or maybe even deduct some points when they do this in a CTF setup. We also have a nice pure convenience feature. You can now search the quite long language drop-down list for your favorite language. If there's any security vulnerability related to the search field, I can say I didn't build this feature. So give it a try. If you find one, open a ticket, and we happily end, might add a challenge around that. Coming to Multijuicer, there also have been quite a few enhancements with this lovely side project. So for those who don't know, Multijuicer is a Kubernetes cluster slash setup with a custom load balancer that allows to host multi-team events. Basically, every team gets their own Juice Shop instance spawned. The load balancer makes sure that you don't get access to someone else's instance. And it also comes with an integrated scoreboard to compare the team scores. And that has seen quite some visual enhancements now. So first of all, when you create a new team, you now get 50% more security for your team access protection, because the passcode is no longer 8 but 12 characters long. So that's great. You can also now get a convenient copy a join link you can copy and paste to your team's WhatsApp group or whatever to actually make joining easier. So that's quite nice. But more interestingly, the scoreboard now features a nice live activity panel where you can immediately see when someone or when a team solved a challenge, how many points they got, and this is basically then scrolling all the time if the teams are active, which is can be quite motivating. Also, from the scoreboard, the teams can now drill down into a scoreboard just for themselves, so where they can basically see which challenges they already solved and how long ago that happened. And you can also take a look at a specific challenge and just see which teams actually solved this particular challenge, which is also quite nice in certain scenarios. For the administrators of the Multijuicer or for the event hosts of the CTF, we now show the cheat score per team, because Juice Shop calculates behind the scenes how likely it is that you might have actually cheated a little bit because you solved the challenges way too fast. Obviously, this only works when you do events like this with teams that never used the Juice Shop before, right? If someone knows every challenge already and they just are super fast, then it will look like they're 100% cheating or 90-something percent cheating, which is the score you get when you run the automated test suite. So I think that's 96% cheat probability, which is quite okay. Fair enough, I would say. We also did some changes behind the scenes. So one is that we are now again up to date quite nicely to the latest versions of our most important frameworks. So we are on Angular 20 and on Node.js 24, which is quite important. We actually, for Angular, we let the upgrades slide for a while some time ago. And this really hurt us in the end, because you just have more work to do to actually catch up again. And especially, I think, Angular 18, between 17 and 18, there were some huge differences in the way the application is built and how the compiler works and everything. And that was quite painful. So we now try to be more up to date faster. During this year's Google Summer of Code project, our student Harsh actually harmonized the code base of all our side projects. So basically everything that is not the main Juice Shop application or Multijuicer, because that was quite a mix-up of TypeScript, JavaScript, this test library, that test library. And he basically now brought everything onto TypeScript, introduced ESLint for code checking everywhere with the same code style, and introduced the much simpler native node test runner over any third-party test frameworks we had. So this is now also much cleaner and easier to maintain for us long-term. Just very recently, I added the so-called project.oas.yaml file to the project, to the website project, to be precise, which is a proposal from the OWASP Nest project to define metadata for projects, events, chapters, and committees, and other things. So basically, entities at OWASP. So this, you cannot read this here, but essentially it allows you to specify the name of the project leads, the name of different communities or social media channels you use, important repositories, mailing lists, and so on and so on, in a standardized way. And they plan to then use this to offer their own service of making OWASP projects or chapters more easily accessible, easily searchable, than by going through the OWASP website, which, let's be honest, is a bit clunky. Or even worse, going through the OWASP GitHub organization, which is a little bit crowded, right? So, and OWASP Nest has the nice benefit of basically bringing everything together, the main OWASP GitHub org, all the organizations that bigger projects like JuiceShop, for example, have, and then they also plan to actually highlight, for example, new issues which are particularly well-suited for students, for Google Summer of Code, and all kinds of things. So quite nice initiative, which JuiceShop is now supporting. And I invite everyone who has a project or chapter to look at these YAML file pull requests that Nest opened and see if you can use them. So something that was very popular is now also finally back. Maybe nobody noticed it was gone, I don't know. But in the past, we sent out coupon codes every month on Twitter because Elon doesn't think that APIs are important, so it's not possible to send those anymore. So instead, we are now sending coupon codes every month on Blue Sky, Mastodon, and Reddit. So you can, again, save a lot of money on our products every month. So please use them. And maybe there's one or two challenges around coupon code abuse also in the JuiceShop. I don't know. Might be the case. This is a special slide. So we actually have a statistics page, stats.owasp-juice.shop, where you can see all kinds of information, how often JuiceShop is downloaded and such. And this now includes also a spam pull request statistics. Because we see an increasing amount of spam pull requests. What do I mean by spam PRs? So there's typically two types. Mainly two types. One is, I hope, accidental pull requests by someone playing around with the JuiceShop. So someone forks JuiceShop, introduces some, I don't know, some security tool with some config files and some pipelines, and then for no reason I understand, they open a pull request to get this running. Instead of running this locally or in their own fork or whatever, for some reason they open a pull request to our main repository, making, unfortunately, Yannick and me busy with looking at these, putting spam labels to those, and then closing them, and also blocking the user for 30 days. And I think it helps because I've rarely seen offenders reappear, let's say. So this is the one case. The other spam pull request case is what I would call contribution farming, which was a problem in the past already, but I think it's now getting much, much, much worse with the AI tools, where it's even easier to create a contribution, which is just doing some stuff to the code base and maybe takes like half an hour maximum for the developer to do, but for the reviewer, it would actually take quite a long time to finally understand what they want to do and why they are doing this, and so this is really getting annoying. But on the other hand, it's kind of a luxury problem if you are a project with 15,000 GitHub forks. So it's a bit of a pickle we are in, but yeah, we try to handle this as best we can. So project roadmap, we do have some UX enhancements still planned for the scoreboard. We also have some modernization in the front end currently ongoing by an external contributor. We are, because I say it now because otherwise the question would come anyway, we are looking at opportunities to do some AI stuff in the JuiceShop. We already have the chatbot, which is using some NLP library behind the scenes, so it's close. but not real LLM or real AI. The problem is if we add this in a careless way, we will just bloat the application completely. So the Docker image will go up in size, or we have some external dependencies where people need to download a gigabyte of models. And this is not really fun. If you look at our Docker image download numbers, if everyone then needs to download an additional gigabyte from somewhere, meh, not that good. So that needs some thought. General enhancements of the code base are always planned, and we want to get our test coverage also at some point back to 90%. So this is the end. I just have one last slide. And for that to work best, I would need Yannick to at least stand up or maybe come to the stage. So Yannick actually is not only the co-project lead of the Juice Shop, but also the project lead of Secure Codebox, as you hopefully learned today. And he actually won the WASPI Award 2025 from OWASP for Project Person of the Year for his contributions. So unfortunately, due to logistical problems, or maybe, I don't know, it's because of the taxes and stuff from the US, for some reason, not closer to be specified, we cannot have the physical award here, but he will get it at the next possibility, probably in Hamburg, because a nice colleague of ours actually brought it from the US from the last global conference. But he couldn't be here today, unfortunately. So I would give Yannick in replacement this ugly cat here, but let's not. Maybe he just wants to wait for the real thing instead. So that's it. Thanks for your continued interest in the project, even though it's already 11 years old. And I don't know if we have time for questions. The timer says we don't. So thanks, everyone.